there, and welcome to the One Church podcast. This message was recorded live at one of our services. If you'd like to know more about life at One Church, visit us online at weareone.church or check us out on social media.
So, I've got a bit of a free topic to share today, and I want to share something that I felt God just drop in my heart in a time where I was just reading my normal daily devotionals, whatever you want to call them. And I hope it's going to be something that encourages you as it encouraged me. So I was reading this passage, which is where we'll start today. So it's Matthew chapter 27. So it'll be on the screen or you can find it in a Bible. And it's Matthew chapter 27 from verse 62. So what's happened is Jesus has just been killed on the cross. He's just been put in the tomb. And then this is what happens. It says, the next day, on the Sabbath, the leading priests and Pharisees went to see Pilate. They told him, "Sir, we remember what that deceiver once said when he was still alive. After 3 days, I will rise from the dead. So we request that you seal the tomb until the third day." So the tomb was usually sealed with a cord that was placed across the stone, two sets of wax on the either side stamped with the Roman seal. And it just meant that if you broke that cord, if you broke the seal, you were defying Rome itself and you would pay with your life. So it was a bit of a significant thing. So they said, this will prevent the disciples from coming and stealing his body and then telling everyone he was raised from the dead. If that happens, we'll be worse off than we were at first. Jesus replied, take guards and secure it the best you can. So they sealed the tomb and posted guards to protect it. So the next day, a couple of weeks ago, we celebrated Easter. We know what happens. The tomb was found empty. Jesus is alive. And he meets the women that came to the tomb, sends them away to tell the other disciples. And the story continues in Matthew 28. As the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and told the leading priests what had happened, that the tomb had been emptied. A meeting with the elders was called, and they decided to give the soldiers a large bribe. They told the soldiers, you must say, Jesus' disciples came during the night while we were sleeping and they stole his body. If the governor hears about it, we'll stand up for you so you won't get in trouble. So the guards accepted the bribe and said what they were told to say. Their story spread widely among the Jews, and they still tell it today. So the title of what I want to share today is Rumor Has It. Rumor Has It. I wonder if you've ever been unsure whether something was true or not. If you've ever been unsure whether to believe something or not. I read a really good example of this recently, and I'd never heard this story before, but you may have heard, and we've already heard today, you are a very intelligent group, well-read group of people. So you might have heard this before. But in 1938, a broadcasting network aired a radio adaptation of the novel War of the Worlds by H.G. Wells. So they aired a radio adaptation. But how they did it was during the production, parts of the story were aired as breaking news alerts. So the very first one, the regular show was interrupted by an announcement that a professor had observed some gas explosions on Mars. Later, the next bulletin stated that a meteor had fallen in New Jersey, killing 15,000 people. Later, the next news flash contradicted the first, saying that the meteor was actually a cylindrical object and Martians were descending upon the area with laser guns and attacking the population. And it sounds ridiculous, but the effect of the broadcast at the time was so realistic, it was so well put together, that listeners panicked and believed that it was true. And what's crazy is that even before the end of the broadcast, doctors, nurses, soldiers, sailors reported for duty, ready to fight off the Martians. Police had loads of calls from people. Newspaper reporters got ready to print the news headlines for that day. And the producers of the show had no idea the chaos that they had just caused through doing this show. And that shows that it seemed so real that people found it hard to know whether it was true or not. It was so convincing. And I wonder how much more so can that happen to us today when like technology is so advanced, animation is so advanced, when we have deep fakes that can totally alter somebody's image or create it from scratch. We hear fake news reports and don't know what to believe. And today it can be so difficult sometimes to decipher what's real or not, or what's true or not. And I think we've all experienced this in one way or another, whether it's something that we've seen and we've not known if it's real or not, or maybe we've heard something on the grapevine and not known whether to believe it or not. We've heard a story, don't know whether to believe it or not. It can be hard sometimes to decipher what is true. And most of the time, it's pretty harmless. It's pretty inconsequential. But sometimes being uncertain of the truth can have devastating consequences. It can have damaging impacts. And one example, for instance, is rumors. So rumors are stories or reports which can have negative consequences. And one definition of a rumor is a currently circulating story or report of uncertain or doubtful truth. A currently circulating story or report of uncertain or doubtful truth. And I think we'll all know the impacts of rumors. We'll all know the detrimental impact that they can have. We'll know that rumors can cause doubt and uncertainty. We know that rumors can ruin friendships and relationships. They can ruin reputations. They can cause division and disunity. And for as long as I think humanity has existed, truth will have been called into question through rumors, through, it doesn't matter about technology, how advanced that is, or deep fakes, but humanity just seeks to sow doubt, or stories call truth into question. And I think this can be the case when it comes to our faith, that rumors can sow doubt and uncertainty. And rumors may not look like, oh, have you heard about so-and-so? Or did you hear the news? This is what's happening. But rumors can look like anything, any story, any report, anything that sows doubt and uncertainty. And for us, it can look like things, maybe like our experience can sow doubt and uncertainty into our faith. Or the people around us sow doubt and uncertainty or cynicism into our relationship with God. Or maybe it's our mindset that can just cause us to doubt. Maybe it's people, our environment, that causes a negative narrative to run through our mind. And that, almost like a rumor, can cause us to question what's true or not. Question, is that right or not? Question, is God really who he says he is? Question, is he going to come through for me? So that when we're believing for a miracle, your experience might say, God doesn't heal today. And it's like this rumor that we just dwell on. Or maybe when you're wondering, is there more to life than this? The culture around us says, no, what you see is what you get. This is all there is. This life is all that matters. Or maybe when you're facing suffering or pain, your internal narrative will tell you, God can't possibly be good if this is how I'm feeling, if this is what I'm going through, he can't possibly be that good. And our internal narrative can almost rumor doubt in our faith. And rumors will look different for all of us, but all of us will be facing something that seeks to sow doubt and uncertainty into our relationship with God, something that makes us doubt his character or whether he's going to answer our prayer, doubt what we've experienced in the past. And like a rumor causes us to doubt and question, there will be things in our lives that cause us to doubt God, to question who he is, and they'll rob us of relationship with him. They'll rob us of peace. And this is the case in the passage that we read. This is what the disciples were facing. So it was a couple of weeks after Easter, imagine that, where we are now, actually. And this rumor would have been spreading like wildfire. It was started the moment the tomb was found empty, but as it went on, this rumor just would have been perpetuated that the disciples stole the body and lied about the whole thing. And in that moment, it's become known now as the conspiracy theory. When it comes to the resurrection, it's the theory that the disciples made the whole thing up. They stole the body, made the whole thing up. And that rumor has been going around till this very day. That's what some people believe. And it undermines the resurrection. It undermines what Jesus had done, what God had set in place. This rumor had the potential to call into question the entire life and ministry and work of Jesus. It called into question whether he really was who he said it was. It called into question whether the disciples really were trustworthy or not. And anybody that heard that rumor, it would make them wonder, was it all made up? Was it all a sham? Was this, what have I given my life to? Can I really trust that Jesus is who he says he is? And in that moment, the enemies of Jesus attempted to undermine him through a rumor. And the thing is, that's what the enemy of Jesus has been doing since the very beginning. Since the very beginning of time, the enemy of Jesus seeks to undermine through rumors, through doubt, through sowing uncertainty. Like we see it in the Garden of Eden. So God created the perfect environment for humanity, everything that they needed to enjoy life in all its fullness with him. And then the enemy comes along and says, did God really say that if you eat that, that would happen? Are you sure that's what he meant? Are you sure you didn't get it wrong? He didn't say that. He didn't mean that. And at the very, very beginning, the enemy came to sow doubt and uncertainty into what God had spoken, into what God was doing. And that's what the enemy will do time and time again in our lives. He will sow doubt and uncertainty into our relationship with God. He'll sow doubt and make us question if we've heard him right. He'll make us question if we can trust who God is. He'll make us question our purpose and our calling and our identity. And as I was preparing for today, I felt like there would be people in the room now who are living this right now. And there's stuff that you're hearing, there's stuff that you're surrounded by that's making you doubt the character of God, making you doubt if he really is who he says he is, if you really can trust him. And I felt like doubt and fear were two things that almost God wants to deal with today, because there'll be people in the room who the rumors you're hearing are causing you to doubt who he is. And for others, the rumors that you're hearing are causing you to be fearful and worried and maybe fearful of the future, fearful how something is going to turn out. And it's like the enemy's rumor mill is working in overdrive just to sow seeds of doubt and undermine what God wants to do in and through you. And you're being bombarded with questions of, did God really say? Is he really is who he says he is? Can I really trust him? But it's in moments like that that we need to expose the lies and reveal what's true. In moments of doubt and uncertainty, we need to expose the lie of the enemy and find the truth that God has spoken. And the way that we do that, the way that we discover and seek out truth, is to check the source. Check your source. I read a story recently of, in 1903, a local newspaper had they'd found that another newspaper, a competitor of theirs, was stealing all of their stories. And so they would just publish the stories that they had published. And what they did was they published a purposefully fake news story to catch them out. So they published a story about a Mr. Svenakafu who was caught in a conflict with somebody. He was shot and he was now in critical condition. It was a bit of a juicy story that they published. And predictably, the next day, this newspaper published exactly the same story. And so they thought, aha, we've caught them out. And what was funny was that Mr. Svenakafu, so Svenakafu, read backwards, reads, "We fake news." And so they've owned it themselves. They've kind of caught them. We fake the news. And so this newspaper highlighted a flawed source. They highlighted that this competitor was not going to the first source. They weren't going to the right source. They weren't going to the direct first-hand source, but they were finding everything through a different means, through a flawed source. So my question to us today is, when it comes to the rumors that we're hearing, when it comes to the stuff that we're hearing and surrounded by, what is your source? What is your source? Who are you listening to? How are you forming your opinions? How are you making your decisions? What's influencing that? is it the news? How are you forming your expectations and how are you fueling your faith? Is it the media? Is it social media? Is it the people that you're surrounded with? What is your source? Where are you getting stuff from? What is your source? Because when our source will dictate everything about our faith, it will dictate everything about the decisions that we make. What is your source? And that is the question that God asked of Adam and Eve in the garden. So the enemy came and sowed doubt and said, did God really say? And then they were ashamed of what they've done. They ate the fruit. They were ashamed. They were hiding from God. God comes and finds them and said, who told you? Who told you that you were naked? Who told you? Who is your source? Who are you listening to? Who is your source? And I feel like that's a question for us today. Who are you listening to? Who is your source? Who told you? That opinion that you have, who told you? That level of expectation that you have, who told you? The conviction that you have about how something's gonna go, who told you? Who is your source? Check your source, because when we know our source, the source will reveal truth. And then when we know the truth is what robs rumors of their power. And that's what we find with the disciples. See, the disciples, when they heard the rumors about the empty tomb, they would not have been fazed. So when they heard they were being accused of stealing the body of Jesus and lying about the whole thing, there's nothing in them that they would have thought, oh, I wonder if that's true or not, because they knew the truth. They knew what had happened. They'd seen the truth. They'd seen their source in Jesus appearing to them. They were so convinced of what was real. They were so convinced of what was true. And that's one of the things that undermines that conspiracy theory when it comes to the resurrection, that the disciples were so convinced of what they knew to be true that they were literally persecuted and tortured and ultimately killed for what they believed, what they knew to be true. They knew their source. They knew the truth. And it robbed rumors of their power. And the great news for us today is that we have a source that is greater than any lie of the enemy. We've got a source that is able to overcome and overpower any doubt, any fear. We've got a source that is greater than any opinion, any anxiety, any uncertainty in our lives. We have a source who is the way, the truth, and the life. He's ultimate truth, and that is the person of Jesus. And when Jesus is our source, we find ultimate truth, the reality of the Word of God, and that robs any lie of its power, that robs the enemy of its power. You know the truth, and the truth will set you free. When we know Jesus, when he is our source, it sets us free from guilt. It sets us free from fear. It sets us free from doubt and uncertainty. When we know him as our source, and when we draw from him, when we listen to him, it sets us free. So that when Jesus is our source, our experience may say, God doesn't heal today, but my source says that by his stripes I am healed. Or when culture says that this is all there is, what you see is what you get, my source says that he's placed eternity in my heart and he's gone to prepare a place for me and there's more to life than this. Or maybe when my situation says, God can't possibly be good if he's letting me go through this, my source says that he is working all things together for my good. And surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. When my internal narrative says, I'm not sure if I can really trust who he is, my source says that as I draw near to him, he'll draw near to me and he will never leave me. He will never forsake me. And when we know our source, we can refute any rumor, any lie, any uncertainty, any doubt, when we know the one who is the truth. And that sets us free to live a life of conviction and live a life of obedience when we know the truth of who our source is. And that's my prayer for us today, that we would know the truth, that if there are areas in our lives where we are believing the lies of the enemy, that will be exposed and we'll know the truth. I wonder, Annabelle, if you're okay to come up and join, that'd be brilliant. And we'll just bring it into land. There's a beautiful verse in 1 Corinthians 8 that says, "For us, there is but one God, the Father, who is the source of all things, and we exist for him, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, by whom all things have been created, and we believers exist and have life and have been redeemed through him." Who is your source this morning? Are there areas in your life where you've maybe been drawing from other sources, listening to other sources, dwelling on other sources? This morning, we can place Jesus back as the center of our focus, the source that we draw from, and as a result, we can discover new levels of truth, new levels of freedom, new levels of confidence in who he is and who we are in him.